We look at the beginning of the Bible, we notice that it starts with a very interesting statement. And verse 1 of Genesis 1 says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. These words were written some 3,000 or 3,500 years ago, rather. And they constitute a dramatic beginning to the Bible. We have here a statement telling us what this book is all about. It is about God and His creation. This is possibly one of the most important statements in the Bible. If this verse is not true, we could probably say that nothing else is true. There are several important things that we need to see in this verse, and I'd like you to pay attention to those. And here's the first one. The verse says, and the author, which is believed to be Moses, says, in the beginning. Therefore, the author of these words believed that the world had a beginning. And he believed that the universe did not always exist. There was a time when there were no stars, no planets, no galaxies, no universe. And this was contrary to what many of the nations in that region believed. They thought that they believed in some kind of eternal universe and some sort of the existence of some sort of primordial matter, which was later shaped by the gods into the world that we have today. So the first thing, the author says, in the beginning. Moses believed in a beginning of the universe. Then the next thing is God. The next word is the word God. And this points us and shows us that there is a beginningless eternal creator. If there was a beginning to this world, that means that the creator did not have a beginning. He was an eternal person. And also this entity is a powerful being, given that it has created this huge universe. But look at the conclusion of the verse. It says that He created the heavens and the earth. There was no ancient Hebrew word for the word universe. So the author used this phrase, heavens and earth, to refer to the universe. Because of the verb that's used here, the verb to create, and because of other considerations, theologians have always thought that this refers to creation out of nothing, or the Latin word for that, Latin expression for that is ex nihilo, creation. So Moses believed that creation, everything we see was brought into existence at a certain point in the finite past by a powerful being, and that this was done out of nothing. We cannot make anything, the slightest, smallest thing out of nothing. Yet God created everything we see from nothing. And that requires an enormous amount of power. So the Bible begins with an impressive way, with a dramatic declaration that the universe was brought into existence by God at a certain point in the past. You see, not all people believe this way, though. Some deny the existence of non-material things or beings, and they say that the universe is all there is. Others say that you just can't know if there is a God or a spiritual realm or any spiritual beings. Yet others would have us believe that the world has been around forever, and they think that there are many gods, at least some of them do. But as Christians, we're called to be able to show that what we believe is true. For various reasons that I mentioned last time, I'm not going to go into again this time. We have this calling, and it is not an option. I believe that it's something that God wants us to do. And this is the task of Christian apologetics, which shows that the Christian faith, the Christian worldview, is a rational faith. Christianity is not a leap in the dark, and I'm repeating some things so we understand what we're trying to show here. It's not a a pie in the sky. It's not some kind of system adopted by people who just can't think very well or are just simply gullible. It is not, in the words of a Christian theologian, jumping in the abyss and hoping that Jesus will catch me. This is something that we believe because there are good reasons to believe in what we believe. One area of apologetics is that of natural theology, and this uses the revelation of God in nature to show that there is a God. And this is wholly apart from the revelation of God in the Bible. So you can use this with an unbeliever. You don't have to go to the Bible to show some of the things that natural theology can show, because it advances philosophical arguments for the existence of a creator. Like I said last time, arguments are not about arguing. Instead, they are a series of statements which rationally lead to a conclusion. These sorts of arguments have been around actually for a long time, a very long time, but have been polished and updated and have become more and more sophisticated over time. One family of the arguments are the cosmological arguments. They have to do with the beginning and the reason for the existence of the universe. There's a family of arguments, of cosmological argument, and one arguments, and one particular one that is a very good argument, I believe, is the so-called Kalam cosmological argument. One of the persons who has worked on this a lot over the last few decades is William Lane Craig. Dr. Craig holds a PhD in philosophy and one in theology from prestigious European universities. So he is a credible person. I want to show you just quickly today, and I'm not going to go into very much detail. I'm just going to show you what this argument says and how it flows. Now, the argument has two premises, two statements, and the conclusion follows from those premises. Here's how it goes. Whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist. Therefore, the universe has a cause. Now, what makes a good argument? An argument is said to be sound if the premises are true and the logic is valid. There are certain rules of logic that you can't violate. If you violate those, then there's no reason to believe that what you say is true. The Kalam cosmological argument is logically an airtight argument. And that means that the conclusion follows inescapably from the premises. So the only way one can get away from what the conclusion says is by denying one of the premises. So the question is, are those premises true? This is a must in order to have a good sound argument. And we will have to look at this another time, because that's going to take a little bit more than what we can do now. It's enough to say for this time that if we can show it to be a sound argument, we will eventually arrive at the following statement. We can arrive at the following statement. A personal creator of the universe exists, who is uncaused, beginningless, changeless, immaterial, timeless, spaceless, and unimaginably powerful. You can do all this without ever appealing to the special revelation of God in the Bible. Now, the attributes I just read to you, I described, are attributes that the God of the Bible happens to possess. There's a lot more to be said about this, and hopefully we'll be able to do that in the future. But what does all this mean? One of the things that it means is that there are reasons to believe in Christianity. There are rational reasons to believe that our faith is true. Another thing it means, and particularly, by the way, before I go on, is that the existence of God is something that we have, in addition to the conviction and the assurance that the Holy Spirit gives us as believers, in addition to that, we have a second mandate to believe, a second warrant to believe in the existence of God, and that is based on some of those rational arguments. But there's something else that this means. It means that you should not be ashamed of the gospel. We stand on solid ground. The things we believe are not simply things that we hope or that we think they may be so, or things that we just really, really want to have this way. The reality is that there are very, very good reasons to think that Christianity is true. And one final thing is that if indeed these things are true, you have no reason to deny Christ. If you choose to deny Him, it's because you want to, and it's a matter of the will, not a matter of the mind. So I hope that you will continue to trust in God, to believe in the things that the Bible says, and maybe in time you'll learn some of the arguments and some of the ways that we can defend our faith. Amen.